In memory of Beau, Beau's mum, Sophia, is a listener and patron of Time to Talk TFMR.
This podcast is supported by ARC, Antenatal Results and Choices. ARC is the only UK nationwide charity offering non-directive, individualised information and support to parents who are making decisions around antenatal screening and diagnostic testing. They also provide specialised bereavement care for those who experience termination for medical reasons. For more information or support, please call ARC on 0207 713 7486.
Hello, I'm Hayley, and welcome to Time to Talk TFMR, Termination for Medical Reasons. I'm joined today by Kelsey. Kelsey lives in the US and has had three TFMRs, unfortunately, and they're all for the same genetic condition. Kelsey and her husband also have one living daughter with this same condition. So this is a really, heartbreaking situation for Kelsey and her family to have gone through this. But we're really pleased to have her here to talk about that perspective of having a living child with the condition and also having gone through TFMR for the same condition. So welcome, Kelsey. It's really nice to have you here. So nice to see you.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate being here. We've talked for so long and I'm ready to bring focus to this side of TFMR.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is it. I mean, we started talking about the genetic carriers story, you know, and I think my understanding as well is that a lot of reason for TFMR isn't necessarily for a genetic carrier reason. But that it does happen, and this is your story. And you found out because of your living daughter that this was the case.
Yes, I found out I was 20 weeks pregnant with my daughter, Blake, when we started finding anomalies during our anatomy scan. And we didn't end up finding an answer to what was going on with her until she was about 2 years of age. It took every test to find out what was going on. She has a condition called 3C syndrome, and she is one of less than 50 in the world with the condition.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm just sort of taking that. So 20 weeks, you started finding out there were problems that she was facing. So it took you about almost 2.5 years to find out what was wrong.
Yes, it will be 4 years on the 18th of December since we found out.
I mean, maybe just take us through that a little bit as well, about finding out there were some problems, but they couldn't exactly pinpoint what it was. And what was your sort of process in that?
Well, it was very intense. I'm sure it's what a lot of TFMR moms go through. You find out there's something going on with your child and your world completely stops. We found all of these different anomalies that were connected to Down syndrome. That's what they had originally thought she had. And we had decided, well, we can handle that. We're okay with that. Mm-hmm. But I got a call the next day and was told that she likely had fatal neural tube defects as well as fatal heart defects, and that she would likely not make it. And we were being prepared for termination. So that was the first time I faced TFMR. It was a very high possibility that I would go through that with Blake.
Yeah.
And it was... Honestly, going through that was harder than any of my other TFMR situations, just being completely blindsided by it. But we ended up testing. We did chromosomal testing, and it came back clear. Everything was coming back clear, but she was showing these physical anomalies. Mm. And we were told it could be something, or it might not be anything. But for me, it was hard to believe that it was nothing. There had to have been a cause. And I went through my whole pregnancy, the last 20 weeks of it, completely scared for my daughter's life, but excited to meet her. I was very nervous for birth because I didn't even want her to come out because I knew she was safe within my womb. Mm-hmm. And when she was born, it was clear that she had something going on based on her features. Her features were very unique. She looked like my husband, but also looked different as well. Mm. And it was very, very apparent from the moment she was born. The moment they put her on my chest, I could see that she had a cleft within her eyes, her pupils, and I knew there was something. So we ended up doing all of this genetic testing over a 2-year span, what our insurance would allow. And we ended up doing whole exome sequencing. Mm. And that just looked at everything. And we found that my husband had a pathogenic or disease-causing mutations for 3C syndrome. And I had a mutation that was noted as a variant of unknown significance. It had never been seen before. And we figured, since my daughter was classical for it, that this was it. This was our answer.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, we're going to do an episode, separate episode on genetics with a genetic counselor as well, because mm-hmm. I think that this, particularly with genetics, it's so complicated. I mean, even you just talking about that right there, about the types of testing. And I mean, it sounds to me like you could have gone through this and not really got to the bottom of it. It sounds like you sort of really pushed for it. You knew there had to be a cause.
I really, really pushed for it. I wanted to know what was going on with my daughter. I was terrified that we were dealing with something progressive or degenerative. And I wanted to know what was going on in case my daughter needed life-saving treatment. Mm-hmm. And when I was pregnant with her, I tried everything I could to find answers, and we just couldn't. Mm-hmm. And I think had we terminated because of the other things going on, we wouldn't have known what we were terminating for.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh. So did you always have a sense when you found out, where was your decision-making process in this sort of to terminate or not to terminate with your pregnancy with Blake?
I just wanted to make sure she didn't have something fatal. That okay. is what I was worried about at the time. I was a lot younger than I am now, obviously. She's 6 now, and I don't think I realized the full scope of what things could look like okay. having a child with a disability. I am so glad I continued my pregnancy mm-hmm. because Blake is my best friend in the entire world. I love her more than anything, and she gives me so much perspective and insight to this world that I would have never received elsewhere. Mm-hmm. But I did go in pretty blindly, and for me, I just wanted to make sure my daughter wasn't dealing with the fatal anomaly.
Yeah. So it was the fact that you didn't have clear answers. It sounds like, you know, they were sort of saying, we're not quite sure. It could be this, it could be that, you know, we can't give you a definitive answer, basically.
Yeah. And it's really hard to make a decision that is so permanent when you don't have answers, when you don't know yeah. what is going on. I feel like that would have caused a lot of regret and guilt mm-hmm. to not know the full scope of what I was dealing with.
Yeah. So you and your partner, husband, decided to carry on with the pregnancy and see what happens, you know, at birth or after birth, and take that as it comes, so to
yes.
speak.
Yeah. We were going to take whatever happened. We loved our little girl, and we'd figure it out.
Yeah. So Blake was born, and you could tell right away that, yes, there were differences here. And then it took you on this genetic journey to find out what could be going on. And that took 2 years. So that's a significant portion of your life of not really knowing, like you said, is this something progressive? Is this going to change very suddenly?
It was terrifying. There was a time there when we thought she was dealing with a degenerative white matter disease, so that basically her brain would start wasting. And that was really, really scary. That was a very, very scary time of our lives. And the whole thing was scary. I watched my daughter slowly, I watched her fall behind over time pretty quickly. And it was hard to know what was going on. I just had no clue what the future would hold for my child. Mm. It was terrifying.
Yeah. And so did the diagnosis give you some relief?
It was a bittersweet moment getting answers. I don't think I expected the genetic carrier piece. So I was thankful to know that my daughter survived something that does kill babies in infancy, that is fatal about 30% of the time. I was thankful that this wasn't degenerative. I didn't find a lot of people with the condition, so that was very hard. And so I didn't get a ton of answers, only some. But the genetic carrier piece, I didn't think we would both be carriers. None of us, my husband nor myself, had anything running within our families. And it was just, we were blindsided by that to find out this is what your daughter has, but you might not be able to have children in the future.
Yeah.
It was devastating.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know from your story, you know, a lot of people who will have been given, you know, the answer to the reason this is happening is because of genetic reasons, they may have the option of IVF, you know, to screen out, you know, to pick an embryo that doesn't have this genetic component, because it's not necessarily present in every single pregnancy. It's a bit of a lottery.
Bit of a shit lottery.
I have to say. well, it's either going to be great or it's going to be not very good. So, yeah.
Well, at the time of the diagnosis, we found out we had a 25% chance of passing on the condition with each subsequent pregnancy. With genetic carriers, it varies. It can go up to 50%. Sometimes there are some caveats in there and it really, really varies. But for us, it was 25%. Mm-hmm. And we, when I was researching it, I wasn't told this by the geneticist initially. I didn't know if we could test for it via IVF at first or even during the pregnancy. It would just be, you get what you get is what I thought it would be. But we were ended up being told, yes, you can test for this via IVF.
But IVF wasn't really an option for you.
It was not.
No.
At that time, it was not an option at all. My husband was still in the military. By the time we started trying, he had just gotten out, was trying to find a career. And we didn't have $30,000+ to fork over to prevent this having a baby with this condition.
Yeah.
So it was either try naturally or
not at all.
Try at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, I guess, talk me through that sort of process of going, okay, this is what we're facing, a 25% chance of it happening again with subsequent pregnancy. Where did you go with that?
I sat with it for a very long time. It was about a year and a half before we finally decided what we wanted to do. It took a long time for me to be okay with terminating for this condition. It took me a very, very long time because what I had gone through with my daughter, Blake, almost having to terminate, I was traumatized by that situation. I was very, very traumatized by it. And I did not want to have to do that. I mean, who does though?
Yeah,
no one.
No one. Yeah.
And it's hard to know that you would be walking into a pregnancy with a huge chance of having to end it all.
Yeah.
And just, it was incredibly difficult to even go there. I remember sitting with the genetic counselor and just breaking down before, and this was in a preconception meeting, because I didn't want to have to terminate a baby like Blake.
Yeah.
It was terrifying, but what it came down to is, what is worse, not being able to continue my family or having to face something that might not come true?
Yeah.
And for me, not being able to give Blake a sibling and not being able to have a healthy child was worse than having to take this huge risk. And that's what I decided to do because I wanted that for my family. And I didn't feel that just because we had this complicated situation going on that I was less worthy of having a healthy child than anyone else.
Absolutely. And I think you're touching on reproductive rights. And I think what often happens is we think about reproductive rights or reproductive justice in the sense of not being pregnant, you know, choosing not to have children. But the other side of this is the right to have children, to choose that. And they are both those things. And I think that's kind of what you're touching on, that you have a right to that.
I do. And here's the deal when it comes to being a genetic carrier. Every single person on our planet is. It just depends on, in my situation, if you're a recessive carrier, if you meet someone with the same holes in their genes as you, but every single person is out there is carrying pathogenic mutations within their genome. And it really is the luck of the draw. And just because I fell in love with the person that has the same problems as me doesn't mean that I'm less worthy of having children.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I think that that is part of this, part of TFMR anyway. It's part of infertility. It's part of that whole conversation, like I said, about reproductive rights, or I'm preferring more now the term reproductive justice, because I think that sort of encompasses quite a lot more than just reproductive rights. But it's a right to choose to have a family or to not have a family. It's both those things. And then being able to have access to the technology to enable you to have family that you deserve just as much as anybody else does, just because
and
you fell
in the way we want to have it.
Exactly. Exactly. Absolutely. So you took your time to wrestle with this. Yeah, like you said, these risks, which one am I willing to take, basically? And you decided, okay, we are willing to take the risk of it happening again, and that we would terminate this pregnancy if it was found out that the baby was carrying the same genetic issue. And unfortunately, that is what happened. I guess the other part I'm interested in is, you know, you've got Blake with her condition. I think maybe just for the listeners to sort of also hear and understand, you know, you've got a child with a disability, what that would be like to have another child in the house with a disability.
My daughter is pretty severely mentally affected. Fortunately, her health is a lot better than other people with 3C syndrome. If we had another baby with this condition, there's no knowing how severe things would be for that child, whether they would die in their first year of life, first days, first months, or if they would need drastic help to keep them alive, or if they would be like my daughter, who is absolutely wonderful, but is a very, very high needs child. And having another child with this condition, I would not be able to give both of my loved children everything they deserve. I would be stretched so thin. Mm. There wouldn't be enough of me or enough of my husband to give those children everything they needed. Mm. And here's the deal. I don't get enough support for Blake in the state I live in. Blake is almost 6 years old, and she finally will be getting services from the state in hopefully a few months from now. Mm. She has not received any help from the state, and there is a huge financial burden with these things as well. Mm-hmm. And you know, you want your child to have all of the services they need, but that has not been the situation with Blake. And how could I expect it to be if I had another child with the same condition?
Yeah.
And probably the biggest thing for me is I'm going to be caring for Blake for her whole life. Well, probably her whole life, but definitely as long as I can care for her, probably as long as I can care for myself. I refuse to put Blake in a home where she could be subjected to abuse. And I could not care for two children for my whole life. And I would have to put one or both in a home. And that is not something I would ever want to do or ever want to consider.
Yeah. And I think that's a part of, you know, when we're making these decisions, that many people who have not experienced TFMR, and even those who have, who, you know, their situation has been slightly different, but you are thinking about more than just the baby you are carrying in that moment. So you project into the future.
Unfortunately, these people that have problems with our choices are people who are thinking in the short term, not
exactly
in the long term. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I've heard plenty of TFMR parents say, how am I going to care for this baby, this child, this adult in the long term? What if something happens to me in the shorter term, you know, and just in the fact that I'm going to get old and there'll come a point where I won't be able to provide this care anymore. What happens to my adult child who needs the support, and will it be there? And quite often, as you say, it's not there. And not there in the way that we would wish it for our children.
No, it's often a very, very sad, sad situation. And that's not something no one wants for their loved child.
No.
And you have to think about, you know, this long-term situation, because life goes on more than just the sweet baby in your arms.
Yes. Yeah. And the baby grows up and becomes an adult.
Yes.
You know.
And my life, I love my daughter. I'm so thankful for her, but my life is a lot more complicated than most people I know who have children of the same age. Everything in my life is complicated.
Yeah.
And there's not an easy way of doing anything. So although I'm very thankful for my daughter, that is the truth of the situation.
It's both these things, isn't it? Yeah. You love your daughter and your life is more complicated. Her needs are more complicated than a child of her age without a condition.
Yeah, I mean, doing any simple task requires so much more forethought and effort. So,
yeah. And so to have another child who, like you say, there's a spectrum here of what could occur. It's obvious, I think, between you and I and anybody else who's had a TFMR listening to this, it's obvious that that is just not a viable option in that way. It's too much to ask.
It's too much on a person, on your marriage, on your living child.
It's
a lot. And I think people forget how much there is to it because they bring too many emotions into it instead of thinking about the reality and the facts. And when I say people, I'm speaking of people who are against these decisions and against TFMR.
Yeah. Did you come up against this within your own family or friendship circles?
Yes, I did. I did. I have people in my life right now who are very, very pro-life and anti-abortion that I am friends with and have no clue that I have made these decisions. And I have lost friends and I have family members that if they knew, they would write me off for my choices. And it's hard, but I honestly, what it comes down to is they've never walked a day in my shoes. And so their opinion is irrelevant.
Yeah.
But it is hard. It is hard to keep this, a lot of this to yourself when it's such a huge part of your story.
Yeah. Yeah. This is, yeah, exactly. This is a huge part of you, huge part of your story.
And the other thing is I love my children so much. I love all four of them.
Yeah.
And I wish I could tell their whole story to most people.
Well, let's talk about them a little bit more if you'd like to. So you've gone through this now, four times, including Blake, three times TFMR. I mean, the last time I spoke to you, you said, oh, I'm all right. I'm a bit shaky. I've just had my third TFMR, and I just, my heart just sank for you that this is, I mean, it is just so much to carry.
It can feel quite relentless at times. And although I know how genetics work, it can be very hard to believe. Mm. Emotionally, it can feel like you're living in a nightmare, having to go through this again and again and not end up with a baby in your arms.
Yeah. I mean, your courage to keep hoping, I mean, that's no mean feat. That's a lot of energy from your part.
It is. Looking back now, it's been a few months since my last TFMR. It was in the end of June. And I can see how much stress it put on me and how hard it was on me just from the moment I found out I was pregnant until the moment I had my TFMR and the weeks afterwards. Mm. It's been a lot, but the reason why I and people like me keep going is because there's a greater chance of things working out than there are of things going wrong. It's just some people have a lot worse luck than others in this game. It's the worst game of chance you'll ever play.
Yeah. And it seems, I mean, for me, I'm just listening to you. I'm going, so unfair. It's so unfair. Why can't Kelsey just give her a break, for God's sakes? These three, and they were all girls as well. Is that right?
So all girls? Four of my children are girls.
Yeah.
Yes. And it had nothing to do with that. It's just another thing that added to the rarity of it all.
Yeah.
The chance of us having four girls in a row was 1/64. Mm-hmm. So very, very, very low, less than 1% of that happening that many times.
And, you know, you mentioned just a few minutes ago about not being able to talk about them with very publicly about what's going on and what's happened for you. How are you keeping them a part of your story or a part of you, I guess?
Well, I do talk about my children. I just don't talk about the whole story generally. Okay. People only see bits and pieces of what is going on. And I'm sure there are some who have put two and two together. I don't know, though. But I make them a part of my life every day. I love them so much. I think about them daily, probably all day long, I would say, all three of them. I talk about them every day to my husband, and they have pictures all over my house. And I love talking about them when I get the chance. I just wish I could share the full story. And I wish that me telling the full story wouldn't, how do I put this? I feel that if I told the whole story, that people would devalue their importance in my life and in my heart, because I've made a choice to have this loss. I've made that choice. And
that you don't get to grieve them, really, because I knew going in that I wouldn't be deserving of
grieving them, but I miss them daily. And I, you know, maybe there probably are more people than I think in my life that would be understanding. And I don't always feel good about taking that leap to share it all either.
It's a risk.
It is. And where I live is a pretty rural Christian conservative area. So it can be pretty iffy as well.
Yeah. And you know what? You need to be safe. You know, this is your heart and your daughter's. And of course you are allowed to grieve. And of course you are allowed to love your daughters, despite knowing going into this, that this could be a possibility. And despite making that decision to end the pregnancy, but you need to be able to protect your heart in this. It really is. I mean, you've been through so much. The last thing you need is somebody trampling.
Yeah, I don't need people showing up to my house with signs and stuff. I don't need that.
Yeah. I mean, I hadn't even really even considered that people would actually do that, but I guess that could be a possibility.
Well, and they know that I have Blake, and they don't know that. I think a lot of people don't know how hard things are with her. They see cute pictures of her on social media and whatnot, because she is darling. Mm-hmm. She's absolutely the cutest thing I've ever seen.
I've seen pictures. Yeah. She is adorable.
She's so cute. And, you know, I think people would think I don't love Blake enough if I've made that decision. And that's not even the case at all. People with these topics, I think people make a lot of really, really hard assumptions instead of talking to the person and figuring out what this is to them, the person that experienced it. So
listening to their story, and I think also understanding, that's why I was asking you at the beginning about what your process was when you found out there were some issues with Blake and what you're being told, what your process around that was. And you also, you just said it on your own. It's like, I was very young. I got the sense that you were sort of saying that I had a bit of naivety about what, you know, what would be the possibility here. And you're a very different person now. You know, this is what we have to all hold, that we change and we learn by experience. And some of those experiences are really hard and really grief filled. But that's what happens in life. We change.
Yeah, we evolve, we grow. And sometimes it's through really, really hard experiences.
Mm. Yeah. And by you having these three terminations, that's not you saying, I don't love Blake and that for some reason I don't want her or any of that sort of stuff. These are separate pregnancies. You are a different person in each of those scenarios.
Well, and the way I look at it is I would have probably always had a child with 3C syndrome because of the fact that we couldn't find it during pregnancy, like genetic testing wise. Yeah. And this has happened so many times. I think I would have always had Blake or another child like Blake had I conceived at a different time. Mm-hmm. I just think I would have always had a living child with 3C syndrome and I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But having more than one child with this condition is just an impossibility.
Yeah.
I'd really like to ask one of the pro-life groups, like how many children with this condition do I need for me to be acceptable?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. What would in your eyes be a good, make me a good person or a good number? Or, and the thing is, when you start going down this route, you realize how insane the conversation is. you know, and I think in general, people, you know, we get this a lot with here in the UK. It might be the same in the US, I'm not sure, but Down syndrome is a very visible disability that people, when they think about babies being tested for something or parents being told there's a problem with your baby, that's the one that pops in. It's a very visual. We know what people with Down syndrome look like, sound like, whatnot. But I think where the, you know, the debate starts getting polarized around this, and what happens is these anti-choice or pro-life groups use that. And they use somebody who's very high functioning as a kind of poster to sort of say, here, look, see, they're fine, or not fine, but they're operating in the world and they're able to look after themselves. They hold jobs. And it gets lost that this is a spectrum disorder. And as you said with Blake, you know, this is a spectrum disorder, you know.
It's one of those gray conditions,
yeah,
like Down syndrome.
Yeah. And you don't know exactly what you're going to be faced with, what that baby's going to be faced with. And I think, you know, the fact that you have Blake, who is, sounds like, thankfully, you haven't got a lot of the really maybe more life-limiting or painful parts of her condition, but there's still a lot of care that she needs. And I think people don't see, as you were saying about pictures and stuff, they see one thing.
Yeah, they see Blake and see this beautiful little girl. And at this point, she looks pretty pretty much like any other child. It was, her condition was a lot more obvious when she was a little baby, but they see a child that looks pretty normal, is very, very cute. She's not in a wheelchair. She's not hooked up to anything because she is one of the healthier children with her condition. And it's hard to see people minimizing what we are going through as well.
Yeah. It's really upsetting when you see that happen. And I think actually there's a lot of disability rights campaigners, those with disabilities, that would say, hang on a minute here. Don't try and paint this picture that it's all wonderful and flowers and rainbows and lovely. It's hard. It's hard. Life is hard.
Well, when people do that, it's completely invalidating to the truth of what your story is and what your child's story is. It doesn't do any favors.
It's true. I want to go back to your three girls because I feel like what I'd like to sort of ask you is what you would like to say about them, what they mean to you.
All four of my girls, including my three that I have terminated. So their names are Aurora, Avani, and Rowan. They're all the most important things in my life, even though the three of them are not here. I love them all more than I have ever loved anything. And I wish they were here. I wish I did not have to make these decisions. I wish that they could have been healthy.
Yeah.
But they will always be a part of my life and always be a part of my story. And I'm thankful for everything that they had taught me, have taught me, even in the 21 and 12 and 12 weeks I spent with them. I learned so much from being their moms, and I feel so grateful that I got to be their moms, even though I had to make these terrible choices. You know, it feels terrible, the choices that feel worse than anything else. I'm just thankful to be their mom. I'm thankful they existed.
Yeah. Would you mind saying their names one more time?
So there is Aurora, Avani, and Rowan, and that is the order of the three of them. Mm.
They're beautiful names.
Thank you. They're very unique, and I wanted them to have names as beautiful as they were.
Mm. Yeah. And I can tell, you know, there's so much emotion in your voice for your four girls and your three that you had to say goodbye to.
Yeah. The way I look at them is I see them just like I see Blake. Mm. My daughter, I didn't meet all of them, but I met Aurora and she looked just like Blake. And spending the 8 hours that I spent with her was some of the happiest times of my life. One of the happiest times of my life, just getting to hold her and getting to admire her. I loved it. And I loved being pregnant with the three of them, despite it being some of the most stressful worry sometimes of my entire life. I loved it and I cherished every second of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're with you and they're with Blake and they're a part of you all. And that will never change.
No, they'll always be a part of our story and they'll always be celebrated within my family. They're very important to our home and our household.
Yeah. 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 It's, you've got me going a little bit now, Kelsey.
it's emotional for sure.
Yeah.
But there have been a lot of beautiful things that have come out of this.
Yeah.
And they have made me so much stronger.
Yeah.
Than I was before them, all four of them.
Yeah.
I'm in awe of being their mother. I'm just so lucky.
Yeah. You know, and it's interesting because there's a part of me that wanted to go, you're so amazing. I mean, you are amazing. But I think it's like I know what that feels like as a mom. You kind of go, no, they are amazing. I'm not amazing. They're amazing. They've given me something. And I'm just so grateful to have had them.
Yeah. As a mom, that love is just forever. And our children just, they change us forever, yeah. No matter how long their time on earth was. Mm.
So what is the future here for you?
Well, I decided that we weren't going to move forward with another natural pregnancy right away. We were going to try something else. Mm-hmm. I had reached my right now limit. Mm-hmm. And we ended up moving forward with IVF. We saved up over the time of going through things naturally. Mm-hmm. And we, how much do I want to say right now? Let's just say there's some really wonderful things happening.
I am so, so pleased to hear that, because you deserve it and your husband deserves it and Blake deserves it. And that's nice to hear. It's also really nice to hear that you were able to save up some money and be able to get the treatment, you know, be able to take IVF. And, you know, part of this is the outrageousness that it costs so much money and that it's limiting for people.
Yeah.
And this is the heartbreak they have to go through.
It shouldn't be that you have, like, you have to have crazy amounts of funding in order to have the family you desire.
And this goes back to those reproductive rights. It's a right to have a family. It's a right not to have a family. It's both those things. Or a right to choose the family the way you want it to be, to plan it out the way you want it to be. These things are all a part of it. On that note, Kelsey, so, you know, one of the things that we do is ask people for a piece of their advice or a piece of hope around TFMR. We call it the TFMR takeaways. So I wondered if you had what advice or piece of hope you would give to those either facing a TFMR or who have undergone a TFMR.
My best piece of advice that I can give anyone is to find people that have been through what you have been through. I mean, it doesn't have to be the exact same circumstances, but to find other TFMR moms, connect with them, whether that be online or in person or some other way. It's so helpful to find someone that understands what you have been through and the things that you have faced. These circumstances are unique. I mean, not around the world, a lot of people face TFMR, but maybe in your community or your friend group, you might not find someone or your family that has been through what you have. And it can feel very isolating. It can feel very, very lonely. But to find other people who have been through the things that you have, to feel the same way as you, whether that be about the choices that you've made, about the child that you have been through TFMR with, it's just so helpful to find a community and surround yourself in the love and support of other people who get it, because this world can be really hard. It can be so difficult to see these negative things being said about the choices you've made and the grief that you are going through. You have to find people that understand.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That you're not alone, that you're not isolated in this, that there are people out there who understand and have compassion and love for this situation. Yeah. Thank you so much, Kelsey. It's been really great to speak with you. And thank you so much for being so honest and open about, you know, what your journey has been. Yeah, really, really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been wonderful talking to you and just being able to shine a light on these important topics because they need to be spoken about, especially in the times we're facing right now where reproductive rights are under attack.
Yeah.
And we need to show all sides to this.
We do. We do. It's not a simple black and white situation. Thank you, Kelsey.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoyed it. Let us know over on social media. Facebook and Instagram is @TimeToTalkTFMR, and Twitter is @TalkTFMR. Don't forget you can also subscribe to our podcast from Podbean or Spotify or anywhere else that you get your podcast from. Subscribing means that you get all of our new episodes as soon as they're released. So that's it for this time. Thank you so much. And please take gentle care of yourselves. Goodbye.